live among the Gentiles, to apostatize. My NIV says turn away, but in Greek it's apostasia. From Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to the customs. Then the Jewish brothers say to Paul, what shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. Then what they tell Paul to do in the next verses, I'm going to skim it for you real quick. They tell him to shave his head and take a Nazarite vow to prove to the Jews that this claim is false. And Paul immediately does it. They even tell Paul to pay for the animal sacrifices that go with the Nazarite vow. Now, you might think, why would there have been animal sacrifices among the Jewish believers once Yeshua had already died? But these were not sin offering sacrifices. They were a different kind of sacrifices, a kind of, I made a vow to the Lord and I'm sacrificing this animal to prove that I'm keeping my vow. It had a different meaning, and the temple was still in place. It was not a sin offering. It was not an abomination to the Lord's sacrifice to do this. So anyway, Paul shaves his head, takes a Nazarite vow, and does what James suggests, to prove that he's not teaching the Jewish believers to apostatize. And that's the only other place that that word is used, which I think is interesting, based on the word lawless means someone against the law or without the law. Dave, did you have a thought?
I just thought it was really interesting how this is a man who is commissioned by God to go to the Gentiles, but how quick he submits to this and shaves his head shows how zealous he is for his people.
He wants to make sure he wants to make sure his Jewish people don't think he's telling them to turn from Moses. Okay, this is what I want to share. I don't know if you remember, last fall in October, I taught on the Feast of Tabernacles at Telford. I taught a 3-day seminar at Telford on the Feast of Tabernacles. And about a night or two before I was to teach, obviously my whole mind was consumed with tabernacles. I was reading hundreds of verses about tabernacles and the fall feasts. I wasn't thinking about the spring feasts at all. It was time for the fall feasts, and I was totally consumed with that. And I was lying in bed a night or two before I had to do this intensive seminar, and I saw a vision of Jesus hanging on the cross. It was a horrible, horrible scene. And written across his body in huge capital letters was the word Passover. That's all I saw. I didn't know why I saw that. It didn't seem to have to do with tabernacles per se. But I'm just saying, I've never seen anything like that. It was like the word was stretched out as far as his arms were stretched out. And this was like a close-up crucifixion. This wasn't like a really long shot. But the word Passover was huge. Now you might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? There's only remember how Jesus said a lot of I ams in the Gospels? You know, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am, what did he say, the good shepherd. You know, he said many, many I ams. And there was one I am he didn't say before his death, but it was said of him after his death. The one sentence he did not say was, I am the Passover lamb. He could have said that, but it would have given away God's plan. He was the Passover lamb, and the reason he did not say that I am the Passover, is because 1 Corinthians 2 says, if the rulers of this age had understood God's secret plan, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. So if Jesus had walked around ahead of time saying, I am the Passover, the rulers of his time, the demons and demonized religious rulers, would have understood that he was actually claiming to be a sacrifice for sin ahead of time, which, as you might notice in the Gospels, he's very careful not to spell that out. Because if Satan and those that worked for Satan on earth had understood that he was the Passover ahead of time, they wouldn't have let him go to the cross. They would have stoned him to death or some other method that would not have put the curse upon his body. And without the curse being laid upon his body, we would all have died in our sins. So afterward, Paul says, Messiah, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. So the vision the Lord showed me, the whole message of the cross is summed up in one word, Passover. There would not, when John saw Jesus walking by, John the Baptist, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He proclaimed it ahead of time, but nobody had any clue. Jesus had just appeared on the scene. Hey, Donna. So, something interesting. So, okay, there's going to be a great falling away from the truth. Without the crucifixion of the Lord, there's absolutely no version of Christianity that can possibly produce joy, peace, happiness, salvation, goodwill toward men, any good thing that Christianity should theoretically read in its people and its followers. Without the sacrifice, that core teaching, that core doctrine of Messiah crucified and his blood as the Passover sacrifice, there is literally no Christianity that can stand, and no one can be saved, and no one can even love each other. And the great apostasy that is coming will involve a version of Christianity without that core. There's already a version of it without that core, but it will get more and more common even in the evangelical and charismatic churches. This has been prophesied by so many people, that both the evangelical and even the charismatic movements will begin to embrace a seeker-sensitive, positive, upbeat Christianity without suffering, without the cross, without the blood, without Passover, without the Lamb of God, without atonement. And it will be much more popular than the suffering, pick up your cross and follow me gospel. It will have more followers by the thousands. And it will be false. It will be apostasy. But it will look true outwardly. There will be a Christ, but not that one. Do you know? In 1993, I had a visitation from the Lord, and I won't go over it right now, but the bottom line of that visitation was the Lord said and showed me, my people don't want me. My people don't want the real me. It changed my life forever. He showed me the church I was in at the time, a huge, thriving, charismatic church. And he said, if I did to them what I'm doing to you right now, would they want me? And I said, no. He said, my people don't want the real me. The church has forsaken God. Dan?
Yeah, Matt said last night, he said, 2 hours on Sunday morning isn't going to cut it. We gotta have more.
That's right. Now, an interesting thing happened to me within the last 2 weeks that I think is relevant to this. For the first time in my life, I began to wonder this particular thought. One day, I just wondered this. I thought about the flogging that they did to Jesus, and I thought about the horrible, horrible brutality of what the Romans, when they flog someone. And I knew perfectly well that physically he could have died under that. There was a martyr in the 3rd century that was scourged to death. You can die under a Roman scourging. And I realized that he could have physically died under that. And for some reason, my mind started to wonder to myself, would that have still counted as atonement? Like, I don't know why I started thinking these things. And I thought, Lord, it would still count. Because I thought it would still be your blood all over the ground, and you would still be killed as a martyr. So I thought you would still have been a sacrificial lamb if you died under that flogging. That's just what I thought to myself. I didn't ask him, I just decided it would have been okay. And then, oddly, this man calls me that I only talk to about once a year. And we hardly ever talk, and we've never talked about this at all, this prophet. And he calls me, and he goes, I've just spent 4 hours with the Lord, and he showed me something, and I felt I was supposed to call you first. And he called me on a night I was severely depressed and physically afflicted. I was in a horrible, horrible, despairing state. I get really grieved in my spirit, and I go through a lot of depression and stuff.